Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Coming up, we'll talk to our regular guest, Ray Woodson. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, happy 4th of July, everybody. Happy 4th of July, Ray. And the Giants heading into the 4th of July, spending it in Colorado and then heading home to play the St. Louis Cardinals. And typical Giants, really, this season, where it seems like they're on a roll and they're going to make a move towards first place. And then, you know, all of a sudden they'll lose a couple of games and things aren't as great as they were. And they kind of, you know, sit there a little bit above 500. And that's where they are right now and trying to figure out a way to win at Coors Field. They haven't done that very often in recent years. And maybe that's the bugaboo. But there are going to be a lot of changes here, Ray, because, you know, when you have a pitching staff that all of a sudden, you know, added Bumgarner and now all of a sudden is going to add Cueto and Samardzija really within a few days span there at AT&T Park against the Cardinals. Things are changing as far as the pitching staff.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with this team right now. I mean, not a whole lot of traction, but I will say this, that be glad it's not the American League West. You know, they're in a division where they're still in contention, and they did a very important thing by taking three in Arizona over the weekend, gaining three games on the first-place team. If that went in the other direction, we may be talking a much different story right now. That was a huge weekend for them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, now they've got belief that they could be in this thing, that they're trying to build towards something, but there have been so many changes, it's hard to get traction. There have been so many injuries, it's hard to get traction. They haven't had the intended starting rotation all year, so it's hard to get traction. They haven't been going deep into the games with their starting pitching, so it's put a strain on the bullpen. All this makes it hard to you know, put some space between yourself and 500, but they at least got five games over 500 before losing two in Colorado. So it feels like it's still taking shape with this team halfway into the season. But, you know, the 4th of July is one of those mileposts, right, that you look at. Are you still in contention? I think if you're a Giants fan looking at how they were last year, if you'd have been told, this is one of those, if I had told you, you know, at the start of the year that they would be 3.5 games out of first place on the 4th of July, you probably would have taken that and run with it. So, you know, I mean, there's some flaws with this team. There's some problems, but there are also some bright spots, some unexpected contributions, and in order to have a successful season, you've got to get those. You've got to have those found money guys like Derek Rodriguez, for example, or Gorkys Hernandez hitting 11 home runs, and that's kept you in the mix, and you know, you can maybe address a need or two by the trade deadline.
Decision time really here for the rotation, and I think they've already made one decision for sure. They put Derek Holland in the bullpen. I think they've sort of made their second one, although they didn't announce it yet. But I think Chris Stratton is not going to be a part of the rotation. And I think he actually might get sent down to AAA. They got some roster decisions to make. I mean, he just didn't have a good outing there in Colorado. And even though he leads the team in wins with 8, he just hasn't pitched as well as he did earlier in the year. And his ERA is now close to 5. So, you know, to me, it looks like it's pretty well set that they're going to stick with Suarez and Rodriguez, the two youngsters, to go behind the veteran top three in the rotation. But, you know, the one guy that we've talked about before that still is a wild card is Jeff Samardzija, because he didn't pitch well at all before he went down with injury. So, you know, it kind of opens the door for more changes down the road.
Yeah, I think that door still is open. I mean, because of his contract, because of his status, Samardzija is going to get a crack at it. he's going to be in the rotation. We'll see where it goes from there. What's nice to know is that you have a Suarez, that you have a Derek Rodriguez, who may still be in the rotation or may be coming out of the bullpen. And maybe Stratton comes back later on this year and pitches better. Stratton was one of those found money guys, I think. You know, he pitched very well at the end of last year, even though he's a former first-round draft pick. He was kind of off the radar, wasn't he? Then he closed strong last year and pitched very well early this year. But I wasn't counting on him. But because of the injuries, they needed the young arms like his to step up, and he did for a while. But, yeah, he's kind of faltered lately, and that's made the decision a little easier for them. And he didn't pitch well in his last outing in Colorado, so writing's pretty much on the wall for him. But I don't know how Samardzija's going to perform. Heck, I don't know how Cueto's going to perform. He was great at the start of the year, and then now the elbow issue, there was some thought that maybe he'd have to have Tommy John surgery. He dodged that, and, you know, sounds like he's feeling comfortable now. So hopefully it works out down the stretch, and maybe he's gotten some needed rest for that elbow as well. But I don't know. I don't know exactly what we're going to get out of him. So, yeah, to me, it's all still very much up in the air. What is nice is you've gotten some contributions from young arms at the start of the year from Stratton. Suarez has been pretty good. And Derek Rodriguez, man, what a story that is.
Yeah, he's just doing a great job. I really like his stuff. As far as Cueto is concerned, it's interesting because you go back a few years and he was really terrific. He just looked like a world beater when he first joined the Giants in 2016. And then last year, he was mediocre. So I agree with you. I don't know what I'm going to get there. I also don't know what I'm going to get as far as closing out games. I feel a little more comfortable with Will Smith than anybody else, but I know that he's coming off Tommy John surgery, and it's kind of hard to throw him 2 or 3 days in a row. But, I mean, to me, he's my first choice. What do you think? Because, I mean, it still seems to be up in the air as far as who the closer is and trying to replace Hunter Strickland.
Well, I guess if you lose games 8-1 or 8-2, that kind of takes him out of the equation for a couple of days. You can rest,
right.
You can rest him.
Right.
But, yeah, it's hard to have him be the classic closer who might be able to close 3 games in 4 days. You can't do that with Melanson. And that's, again, the harm of the Hunter Strickland situation. Where he broke a finger in his hand out of frustration. And, you know, it's going to be a few weeks before he's back. That put a hole in the bullpen, and maybe that's one of the areas they address the need. They may bring up Ray Black at some point, who's been pitching well at Sacramento and can hit 100 on the gun. Maybe that's another setup arm. But they don't really have the classic closer. Will Smith hadn't been a closer. He's done a good job in a couple of appearances and probably looks like the guy right now. But again, day in, day out, you can't depend on him. So that's a huge question mark for this team that, again, they may be able to address at the trade deadline if they feel like Hunter Strickland is not ready to come back and assume the role. There are a lot of people, and I know a lot of fans, are saying, well, that's got to be it with Strickland. But, you know, in the middle of the season when you're in a pennant race with a guy who's done a reasonably good job but had a couple of bad outings lately, and that led to the frustration, of course, blew the save. You still got to go with that guy. They're still going to go with him. There may be some frustration with him. They may be talking about anger management, but he's still going to be around. And if nothing else, he gives you some more depth.
There are so many guys who can close out the game. I mean, Dyson really was kind of given the first shot at it. I don't know that he's totally failed, but you could close with Watson. You know, of course, you got Melanson. That's why you paid him all that money. But again, he's a guy who's not going to go 2 or 3 days because he's coming off injury as well. And then there's Reyes Maranta, who has great stuff, but it's just aggravating, Ray, when you bring in a reliever or a guy to close and he walks somebody, and not only walks him, but walks the first batter on 4 pitches. You're just going, what is going on? I mean, and that's his problem. He's got really good stuff. His numbers aren't bad, but he does have a lot of walks, and the ones that stick in your mind are the ones that are the leadoff walks.
Yeah, and that came back to bite him a couple of days ago. And, you know, he's a guy that now – and this is what happens when a closer goes down. Guys are shuffled into roles maybe that they're not accustomed to. And, you know, they become, a little bit more leveraged situations than they're used to. So you throw that into the mix along with a guy who can be wild, and it's not a good combination sometimes. Other times, you know, when you need a strikeout, he can get you that. And that's a nice thing to have out of the bullpen. But, you know, he reminds me a little bit of a younger Santiago Casilla in that sometimes he didn't know where the ball was going, but the stuff was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him some time to, you know, improve his control a little bit. And Casilla did a good job for a while. You know, maybe he ends up being a guy like that who down the road could close a game or two for you. But, yeah, I mean, the wildness is definitely an issue. I think you mentioned Tony Watson. I think there will be games where they have got a call on him as well because he can pitch against a lefty and a righty. He's not just a one-out guy. I think he's shown that. And he could be an all-star as well.
We'll get back to the conversation with Ray Woodson in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about how you can save on tickets to Giants games. Go to SeatGiant.com and use the discount code THESPORTSVIRUS and you'll get a nice discount on Giants tickets or tickets to other events. So again, remember, SeatGiant.com. The lineup seems to be pretty set, except for there are a few players out there that, you know, Bruce Bochy on a daily basis has to make a decision about. And, you know, Hunter Pence is involved in those decisions, Austin Jackson as well. I mean, how much playing time are they going to get over an Austin Slater, who really, it seems like everything he hits is hit hard. Plus, he is athletic out there in the outfield. He made some really nice catches in Denver the other day. So it seems to me like Slater deserves to get a lot of playing time, but Bruce Bochy still reluctant to not play some of the veteran guys, you know, especially Hunter Pence. And, you know, Pence definitely is not making the same contact. He's not hitting home runs. And it's kind of hard to justify throwing him out there very often, Ray. I don't know. What do you think is going to transpire here in the next few weeks as far as the playing time is concerned in the outfield?
Well, I mean, Father Time is undefeated, and it seems like gravity is toward the youth movement. People like to say Bochy favors the veterans. I think to an extent that's true, but I think common sense takes over after a while, especially when you have, for example, a left fielder whose OPS is in the fives. You know, that makes the argument for you with Hunter Pence.
Yeah.
I mean, he's near the end. Let's face it, he's near the end. It's tough to see the guy who was so durable and played so hard for a long time, but he's not making solid contact. I mean, just a whole lot of tappers. You know, when he makes solid contact, he hits the ball hard, but that's not often enough. He had a walk-off hit, you know, a few days ago. That was kind of a squibber down the first baseline that was perfectly placed. You were happy for him. But to me, you got to go with Austin Slater. You got to go with the younger guys if you can. You know, Austin Jackson has not fit in well as far as defensively or offensively. He hasn't done a whole lot with his team so far. But I think Bruce Bochy wants to keep the veterans involved, so he's going to try to find them playing time. I mean, Gorkys Hernandez has done a terrific job, but the back of the baseball card says this isn't going to be sustained, right? He had no home runs last year, and he's got 11 this year. It's a great plus, and he plays a good center field. So I think you continue to play him as long as he's playing well, but don't count on it. You just can't count on it. So, you know, to me, it's the youth movement. And you got to look at Slater, and down the road, Steven Duggar, that's got to be your long-term plan. And maybe another young outfielder who will be in the mix down the road, or maybe you trade for one. But this whole outfield makeup is going to change drastically, I think, in the next year.
Well, certainly the luxury tax threshold is on the mind of not only the Giants, but a lot of teams in Major League Baseball as you approach the trade deadline. Same thing happened with free agency during the winter. So, you know, I don't know how that affects what the Giants will do. But one story that keeps coming out there that just irritates me is the Madison Bumgarner getting traded story. Now, I know that teams are going to call about him, and I know that you would get a lot of value. But why in the world would you trade Bumgarner now when you have a team that is in the race? I just don't understand why you would trade him, and that seems to be a topic that comes up. You know, I know Buster Olney has mentioned it a few times, not that he's in favor of it, but he just keeps bringing it up, and I just don't understand why that's even a topic. I know I've seen some Yankees fans on social media saying, yeah, we'll take Bumgarner. You know, we need another pitcher. Well, yeah, great. You know, the Giants are also in contention here.
Yeah, well, what are you going to give for Bumgarner? All right, you're going to give Aaron Judge? Okay.
Yeah, well, no.
I mean, Didi Gregorius, Gleyber Torres? I mean, well, what are we talking about here? Because it would have to be quite a haul. Yeah, I mean, you never say never, right? But ain't going to happen, not right now. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, he's been an incredible bargain for the Giants. He's been a bedrock of the organization. The last couple of years, have been unfortunate, partly by his own doing. Last year it was by his own doing. This year, a very freakish situation in which he was injured right before the start of, right before they were going to break camp, right? I think it was his last appearance before they were going to break camp.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So there's no urgency here to do anything until the off season. And then maybe you can work something out and see where your payroll is, your luxury tax is at that point in time, because the money will be coming off the books. But in the meantime, I don't think there's any rush here. And you've got a team that is in contention, and you've got a guy who's come back. And although he hasn't gotten a lot of wins, he's pitched very well his last two or three starts. He started to look like the Bumgarner you remember. So it's pretty enticing to have that down to the stretch. So that ain't happening right now. Unless, of course, you never say never, the Hall is unbelievable. I threw some names out there facetiously, but it would have to be on that level to get their attention. But this team has always been about pitching and defense first and foremost. They want to see what this rotation looks like with everybody back. Okay, so Bumgarner's back, Cueto coming back, Samardzija coming back. You see what you got. And if that's something that can carry you possibly into the postseason. And again, fortunately, you're in the National League and not in the American League, where the five spots seem to be cemented down. And so, you know, that's going to be the mindset of the Giants. This guy is a franchise bedrock for them. He's a pillar for them, along with Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford. And he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising the Giants didn't win that game the other day. He had the 2-0 lead. What was it, the sixth or seventh inning, and then they don't win it. But he has pitched really well. He hasn't hit well so far, though. I mean, he's 0-14, which is kind of surprising. I guess he just hasn't really gotten into his rhythm swinging the bat. But it definitely is part of the big conversation right now in baseball about the designated hitter maybe becoming a reality in the National League. And, you know, I'm not in favor of it, especially because of Bumgarner. He's the one guy or one of several that you like to see up there. He can still hit home runs. And if you have the DH, you're eliminating Bumgarner and others, you know, Greinke, other guys who can definitely handle the bat. And, you know, so I don't understand why that would happen. I mean, I understand that baseball is trying to speed up the games. And to me, that's another way to slow down the game. You're going to have more offense, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it takes away some of the strategy as well. Do you think it's going to happen, Ray? And what are your thoughts?
I think it's going to happen in a few years, if not sooner. I think the momentum is going that way. I'm not crazy about it. This is what I would say, though. Even though Bumgarner might be considered an argument against the DH, even the best-hitting pitcher is usually not anywhere near as good as a designated hitter. At least
True.
He shouldn't be.
No.
and yeah, it does slow down the game, but there's more action, you would assume. But, you know, I like the fact that there are differences between the two leagues.
Me too.
Still, you've got interleague play, and maybe it's not the level playing field, but this is one area where I think it makes baseball unique. And but if fans in the National League and players in the National League don't want to make the change, then I think you've got to hear them out, right? I think you've got to take serious consideration of that. The American League has been going that way for 45 years. It doesn't cause me to enjoy baseball less if I'm watching an American League game. It's just part of the way they play. And this is the part of the way the National League plays, and there's bunting and strategy and double switches and things like that. You don't see as much of that in the American League. But, frankly, I don't pay to watch a game just for that. I just pay to see quality players and quality at-bats. Hopefully, and there's not a whole lot of them in the National League with pitchers. That's true. But it doesn't cause me to stay away from a National League game. I just accept it as part of what they do. So I do like the differences. I'm fine with keeping it the same, but I understand which way the wind is blowing here. And probably you're going to see uniform DH, because I think if you're going to have interleague play and leading up to the World Series, unless you stop interleague play and you just keep these leagues cloistered, I don't see any reason why it's not going to change to where everybody is playing under the same format. Like I said, I like the differences, But I think the league office and the people who make the rules, they want to have it uniform.
Part of it, I think, is the injury to Tanaka, you know, a Yankee who strains both of his hamstrings and he's out for a while. So I think that kind of raised eyebrows about it. But, you know, I think I'd miss the guys who can hit, the guys who are athletic enough to do it.
Yeah, they could still hit, right?
I mean, yeah, they could still hit.
Yeah, I mean, if you really like your pitcher hitting, go ahead and hit him. You don't have to have the DH, right? I think they would just afford them the opportunity to do that, and of course, a lot of teams would take that opportunity because they want to have a better bat in the lineup. But if you really like Bumgarner against somebody, well, you could still go ahead, or he could pinch hit, right? I guess, but you know, obviously, that wouldn't be the norm.
Bumgarner, by the way, was a little bit outspoken about rules changes, just, you know, the rhythm of the game and everything. And I was thinking about how, you know, the mound visit thing, I don't think that's really saved much time. I mean, how many times were there mound visits that were over six that they're limiting it? I don't know. And even intentional walks, is that saving much time? I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're really going to have to go to a clock to save time, or, you know, make sure that players are in the box and pitchers are ready to go. They would have to enforce that better. These other changes they've made, I don't think they've really done much.
I think it saved approximately 4 minutes and 38 seconds so far this year.
The whole season, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can use another 5 minutes on the elliptical, you know, so it's definitely been better for my life. I don't think that the average fan notices the difference. I mean, you either like the game or you don't. The stars are either appealing or they're not. And what Major League Baseball has to do is a better job of marketing their stars nationally. I think that's a bigger issue for them. But, you know, as far as little tweaks to speed up the game, okay, fine. As long as within the spirit of the game, I guess that's okay. I'm just saying, no, I'm not noticing a whole lot of difference. I'll have to look at the data to see if the games are quicker now or anything like that. But regardless of the rule changes they make, I like baseball. I'm going to keep watching baseball. If you're not inclined to like baseball, are those little tweaks going to draw you in? I mean, if you're a 10-year-old, are you going to be more likely to like baseball? It's a cultural thing. It's a family thing. Either your family brings you into the game or not. I mean, my son always played baseball. A lot of his friends liked soccer or football. But that's just the way I was growing up, handed down from my dad. And I think what you see is, you know, a lot of fans are entrenched. It's a family heirloom. It's passed down. And that's one of the appeals of the game. But I don't know if you draw in more people necessarily with all these changes.
The one change I would like to see, which they haven't even talked about at all, and I never could understand, Ray, is a relief pitcher. He's in the bullpen. He's throwing a lot of pitches there. Why does he have to come over to the mound, the game mound, and now continue to warm up? Like, that takes more time. You come into the game, boom, you're ready to go. I mean, I understand it's a little bit of a different mound, but they bring that to me, that wastes time. And if you use four or five relievers and you're wasting, you know, 5 minutes each guy, well, that's 25 minutes right there. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't heard anybody talk about that.
No, you could do that. Or just give them a couple of pitches and go. I don't know. Or bring back the bullpen baseball carts so they can get in the game faster.
Arizona did, but I think that
Arizona
was it.
Arizona did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, of course, at AT&T Park, the warm-up mounds are right there near the foul line, so it's a pretty short jaunt. Wouldn't make much of a difference. But, this all goes under the heading of, are we overthinking this, right, with all these rule changes and tweaks? And Rob Manfred, I know he's trying, but I think he overthinks it. For example, with the whole idea of changing the shift rules, you know,
right,
things like that. I mean, you got to make adjustment as a hitter. There's not going to be no. What are you going to put a boundary line that goes from home plate through second base to center field, and you can't go over that boundary line? Give me a break.
I love the hitters that make the adjustment. Look at Arenado the other day. They had the shift on, and he just hit a base hit to right field. You know, McCutcheon's done that too, and even Belt every once in a while, or he bunts. You got to beat it on your own.
Yeah. If they're going to give you that hole, take advantage of it. I mean, I saw it to a smaller degree when I was coaching youth baseball, when there was a good hitter that, left-handed and pulled the ball. His attitude was, well, I'll just hit it over there ahead. And sometimes he did. But we convinced him, you know, to try to go the other way. You know, bunted a couple times. It's a free hit. He did. And eventually they shifted back, and then he hit a ball into the hole where the fielder once was, and he'd get a hit that way. So, you know, these days everything is charted down to the nth degree. We know the tendencies of every hitter. So as a hitter, you have to make adjustments. As a pitcher, you have to make – this whole game is about adjustments and readjustments. So if you don't adjust, well, I mean, that's on you. It's not on the defense. It's not on any rules that you have to enact. It's on the hitter and his approach. So anyway, like I say, it goes back to overthinking on this stuff and some of these rule changes. But as far as the DH, I do think that's coming.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I don't like it. Well, Ray, have a great 4th of July. I hope everybody has a safe 4th of July. I mean, I know it can get kind of dangerous out there. I got to go fire up the grill, which is always fun to do a little barbecue on the 4th of July. And this podcast is just the amount of time where people could, you know, listen to it while they're firing up the grill and making sure it gets hot enough. And then you get the food on there so you can have the, you know, your iPhone out there and listen to the podcast while you're doing that.
That's right. That's right. And hopefully the food isn't undercooked. So, you know, but the sad part is the cleanup. Who gets that job?
Oh, I think I'm going to get that job this year.
Well, you know, you got to make sacrifices once in a while. It's all for the sake of a good burger.
Exactly. All right, Ray. Talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. We'll be at AT&T Park tomorrow for the Giants and the Cardinals. And another podcast here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.